From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Paste Magazine just released its list of the top 50 albums of the year. New albums from Nico Case, Courtney Barnett, and Janelle Monáe made the list. Josh Jackson is editor of Paste Magazine. Welcome, as always, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you with us. And you can tweet us your picks for the best album of 2018. We are at OST Talk on Twitter. You can also post them on our Facebook group. So let's talk about compiling this list first, Josh. Do you have clear favorites from the year? I mean, did some sneak up on you?
I'm always surprised because, you know, the way we do this, we have our staff, our writers, even our interns all vote for their top 20s, and it's a pretty democratic system. So, you know, we want this to be a music discovery platform for all of our readers. It's also, you know, for me, every year there's something that I just missed and find on these lists.
So no voter suppression accusations on this list.
not on this one.
Now, we are saying album. Is the album still a thing in the age of the Spotify playlist or the Pandora playlist?
I think it is. I mean, this is how a lot of artists are still releasing their music. You know, they're still putting the thought into packaging these songs together and making an album. And that's kind of what we're celebrating here.
What kind of things are you looking for in the best album of the year? Does it have to define the cultural moment or the musical moment or political statements or just really great music?
Just really great music. I mean, for us, you know, when you're looking at something like a piece of art, It's all in the eye of the beholder. So if you like it, then it's good enough and give it your vote and we'll see where it lands.
Do you find that in, you know, I'm looking at some of the titles here. It didn't make me feel completely past it because I recognize some names, Elvis Costello, Nico Case, Superchunk, Decemberists, Roseanne Cash. But there is quite a range here, right? Do you find that your interns and your young editors have a different perspective and towards new music?
Yeah, I mean, there's some debut albums here, along with legends like Elvis Costello, and the stylistically it ranges. You know, we do a lot of indie rock, a lot of singer songwriters, but there's also hip hop on here like Pusha T and No Name. There's country albums from Kacey Musgraves and Ashley McBride. It kind of runs the gamut.
Janelle Monáe's third album, Dirty Computer, was also one of her most personal, and that was on your list. In April, she came out as pansexual. This was in an interview with Rolling Stone, and her early work definitely dealt with ideas about gender and sexuality, but this was the first time that subtext made it into text. What was special about this album when you listened to it?
Well, Janelle Monáe, I got to spend a whole day with her back in 2009 interviewing her for a pilot, TV pilot that we'd made. And back then, I was like, she's a superstar. I know she's going to be a superstar. And since her last album, she's gone on to do acting and really burgeoning career that way. But it's still got that sci-fi element. She put out a visual, almost like a short film to go along with this album. And it's still got all that sci-fi about which, you know, she uses sci-fi to deal with identity and sexuality and gender and all these things. And it's an amazing album.
She's just an amazingly creative person. Also, Big Red Machine's self-titled album made the cut. It's a side project by The Nationals' Aaron Dessner and Bon Iver's Justin Vernon. Has a ton of guest vocalists and artists who make up the collective. Let's hear Lila from Big Red Machine's album. Heaven in a 1-2 set. Heaven in a more and more. So that's got a lot of beat to it, a lot of that kind of polyrhythmic stuff. Where's this all coming from?
Well, you know, this is one of the, I don't write a lot of our reviews, but this was an album I heard and I just said, oh, I have to write this one. So, you know, sometimes side projects like this can feel like a tossed off thing. This to me felt like the opposite, like this was remarkably ambitious. It's a labor of love that these two very popular musicians in their own right kind of came together with a bunch of their friends. And it just sounds like the way that they want to create art, and they got to do it exactly as they wanted to do it.
So we do have links to the full 50 best albums of 2018 from Paste Magazine at our website, but we also would love to hear from you. We're at OST Talk on Twitter if you want to tell us any particular picks for your favorite album of 2018. Josh Jackson, he is the editor of Paste, is with us. And Nico Case's Hell On, that's her seventh full-length solo album. Paste writer Ben Salmon described Case's voice as a fist looking for a fight. So what about it? What did it about it is surprising you all these years after her start?
Well, you know, and she's a longtime favorite of ours. I think most of her albums have probably ended up on our year-end list. But this is probably has some of the poppiest arrangements of her career. She played these songs here in Atlanta earlier this year when she came to town to be part of Chris Tilley's Live From Here at the Fox. And these are, again, just really adventurous songs compositionally. She structures the songs a little bit differently than anyone else. She's just her own kind of genre. I mean, the way that she writes music.
The Nico Case genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Another pick from Atlanta, or from the list, is Atlanta-based visual artist and musician Lonnie Holly Smith. I will say that Lonnie is a very close person to me, a very dear friend. Producer Richard Swift produced this tune called Copying the Rock.
Over many rocks. See, I don't know very much about all the other planets. I don't know nothing about Jupiter. I don't know Mars or Venus.
Holly kind of defies genre. How did this work expand what we expect from him musically?
Well, and this was a new discovery for me this year. I sort of had a high fidelity moment when I was in Wuxtry Records in Athens, and they started playing it over the speakers, and I was like, "What is this?" I didn't know that anybody could mash up Tom Waits and Sun Ra and give us something completely new. So, the producer, Richard Swift, he's also on our list with his own album. He passed away this year. Just a devastating loss for a lot of people in the music world. And we keep getting these little gifts that we didn't know were coming, like on Lonnie Holly's album, or Lucius has a holiday song now that he produced. And that was a rough loss.
All right, let's go to your top three picks. We've got Courtney Barmett's Tell Me How You Really Feel, which comes in third. Here's Need a Little Time. Courtney Barnett there from her album Tell Me How You Really Feel, one of the picks for Paste's top 50 albums of the year. She played the Shaky Knees Festival in Atlanta, like many of the other artists on your list. What is it about this album? She's an Australian singer-songwriter. What stood out?
So she came on the scene just a few years back, and I went back and looked, and her last album, solo album, was number 3 on our list in 2015. Last year, she was number 5 on our list with an album with Kurt Vile. She has these clever lyrics with these big melodic hooks, and can go from being this quiet singer-songwriter to sounding like Nirvana, and you know, from song to song.
Also, who played at Shaky Knees, Parquet Courts.
Yeah, one of our staffers played some of this music for their grandpa over Thanksgiving, and he described it as 60s rock and roll with punk rock vocals, and that's pretty much
his grandfather
on. Oh yeah, that was like, yeah, that's exactly what that is.
His grandfather does not know mine. I'll say that much. This is a little bit from Parquet Courts' album Wide Awake, the title track. OK, Okay, so this is definitely what they recorded it at Mardi Gras, was it? Or I saw the video that looked like it was at Mardi Gras.
Well, one neat little Atlanta connection here is that this was produced by Danger Mouse, Brian Burton, from here in the ATL.
So this is a little funky, a little groovy, definitely made for dancing. What made it the top two pick? Not quite the best album.
It was on so many people's lists. It's just such a fun record to listen to. You've got these Afro beat rhythms going sort of hand in hand with these almost stoner punk anthems. So
I think the grandfather's description was pretty darn good.
I think her grandfather got it, just nailed this one.
Maybe he's going to be on your list of pickers next year. And then there is Lucy Dacus, her second studio album. It's called Historian. Very personal, very political. She's only 23 years old. Here's Yours and Mine, which she wrote after the 2017 Women's March. Stay indoors. Take care of you, know. Take care of you, know. Me and mine, we got a long way to go before we get home. 'Cause this ain't my home. Lucy Dacus, the number one album according to Paste Magazine. It's called Historian, that song, Yours and Mine. Do you remember, Josh, when you first heard the album and what stuck with you on that initial listen?
Well, you know, she came out with her debut album a year or two ago, and I loved that one. So I was really excited about this one coming around, but certainly avoided the sophomore slump here. What I love about Lucy is she's such a great lyricist. The songs just connect with you, but you know, she could be singing about the phone book, you know, or singing the phone book, and the music is still just these majestic, sweeping songs. And this was my personal favorite for the year, and that doesn't always happen that my personal favorite ends up on the top of the Paste list. So I was excited to see that I was not alone in voting for this one.
Well, let's see what's coming up for live shows. Elton John is going to be playing in Atlanta tomorrow. He said that he's retired from touring, so this is the farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. Last time to see him in concert. First of all, do we believe that?
Well, here's the thing. So he's playing tonight and tomorrow night, and it is the farewell tour, and it is sold out, but that doesn't mean it may be your last chance, because the tour is going to include 300 shows on 5 continents and doesn't end until 2021. So you still got time. Maybe not
farewell.
In Atlanta, but you've still got time somewhere to see him.
Well, he has influenced so many young artists. I'm thinking Lady Gaga, because she's got a terrific cover of Your Song. So it's funny because even people who didn't know Elton John, he's been around for, 50 years, may know him now from a commercial. He's done this commercial for some department store chain in the UK that has gone completely viral. It's kind of him aging backwards. How do you see his musical legacy playing out in the pop landscape today?
I think he is pretty universally beloved, no matter what genre you like. I mean, yeah, I think for there was a period of time where it might have seemed less cool, but I think it's hard to find somebody who's not an Elton John fan these days.
Leslie Odom Jr. of Hamilton fame is putting on a concert on the 5th with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, and he has a holiday album called Simply Christmas. Here's his little cover of Merry Christmas, Darling.
That I wish you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year too. I've just one wish this Christmas Eve. I wish I were with you.
All right, I'm going to admit I'm not the target demographic for Christmas music, but that's pretty sweet.
Well, I'll admit that I'm a huge Hamilton fan, and he'll always be Aaron Burr to me. But when you see him in concert, typically he's playing You know, a bunch of standards like Nat King Cole and Cab Calloway, as well as, you know, the Wait For It and Dear Theodosia from Lin-Manuel Miranda's play. But yeah, you're going to hear a lot of Christmas music on this particular tour.
Well, and especially with the Atlanta Symphony, that'll be beautiful, filled out sound. Rufus Wainwright is playing in Atlanta on December 12th. He's got a new single that he did release at the end of October, Sword of Damocles. He said it's an artistic response to what's happening in the American government, and he was urging folks then to vote. Has his music always had a strong political message?
Not this overtly, but that's always been part of just his DNA. And it's a musical family that is very political in what they're doing. It works for the symphony orchestra.
Yeah. We're sending you into your weekend in style with some songs that we've been enjoying this week, too. First, I'm going to start with my pick. I saw Jim White play at the Grocery on Tuesday. Do you know Jim White?
I do know Jim White, and I wish I'd known that was happening because I love Jim White.
It was such a special show. He's an artist and musician. He's gone through big bouts of depression, said he's mentally ill. He spent some time as a New York cab driver. Now, at the Grocery, he did his album Wrong Eye Jesus from top to bottom, and this song just keeps going through my head. It's called Still Waters.
Well, I was shut up down in Mobile with a girl from New York City. She woke me up one night to tell me.
Jim White there, song that I can't get out of my head this week. How about for you, Josh? What are you listening to?
So for me, I wanted to pick this band Boy Genius because they put out an EP this year and that didn't qualify for our best albums, but it's still the thing that I keep going back to. It's an indie supergroup with our top pick, Lucy Dacus, along with Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker. They're three of the most talented up-and-coming singer-songwriters, and it's just a wonderful EP.
Well, we are going to leave everybody with that song from the EP. It's called Me and My Dog. As we say goodbye to Josh Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Even though we forgot to eat, and you had a bad.
That's Josh Jackson, editor of Pace Magazine, sending us into our weekend with some jams. Now, we do have a link to Pace list of 50 best albums of 2018 and their picks for live shows in the area. Those links are at gpb.org. Thanks, Josh.